Monsieur Van Gogh, it's time to wake up.
Vincent had been waiting for Ursula's voice even while he slept.
I was awake, Mademoiselle Ursula, he called back.
No, you weren't,
the girl laughed.
But you are now.
He heard her go down the stairs and into the kitchen. Vincent put his hands under him, gave a shove, and sprang out of bed. His shoulders and chest were massive, his arms thick and powerful. He slipped into his clothes, poured some cold water out of the ewer, and stropped his razor. Vincent enjoyed the daily ritual of the shave. Down the broad cheek from the right sideburn to the corner of the voluptuous mouth, the right half of the upper lip from the nostril out, then the left half, then down the chin, a huge, rounded slab of warm granite. He stuck his face into the wreath of the Brabantine grass and oak leaves on the chiffonier. His brother Theo had gathered it from the heath near Zundert and sent it to London for him. The smell of Holland in his nose started the day off right.
Monsieur Van Gogh,
called Ursula, knocking on the door again.
The postman just left this letter for you.
He recognized his mother's handwriting as he tore open the envelope. Dear Vincent, he read, I'm going to put a word to bed on paper for you. His face felt cold and damp, so he stuck the letter into his trouser pocket, intending to read it during one of his many leisure moments at Goupil. He combed back his long, thick, yellow-red hair, put on a stiff white shirt, low collar, and a large, knotted, four-in-hand black tie, and descended to breakfast and Ursula's smile. Ursula Loyer and her mother, the widow of a Provençal curate, kept a kindergarten for boys in a little house in the back garden. Ursula was 19, a smiling, wide-eyed creature with a delicate, oval face, pastel colouring, and a small, slender figure. Vincent loved to watch the sheen of laughter which, like the glow from a highly coloured parasol, was spread over her piquant face. Ursula served with quick, dainty movements, chatting vivaciously while he ate. He was 21 and in love for the first time. Life opened out before him. He thought he would be a fortunate man if he could eat breakfast opposite Ursula for the rest of his days. Ursula brought in a rasher of bacon, an egg, and a cup of strong black tea. She fluttered into a chair across the table from him, patted the brown curls at the back of her head, and smiled at him while she passed the salt, pepper, butter, and toast in quick succession.
Your mignonette is coming up a bit, she said,
wetting her lips with her tongue.
Will you have a look at it before you go to the gallery?
Yes, he replied.
Will you, that is, would you show me? What a droll person he is. He plants the mignonette himself and then doesn't know where to find it.
She had a habit of speaking about people as though they were not in the room. Vincent gulped. His manner, like his body, was heavy and he did not seem able to find the right words for Ursula. They went into the yard. It was a cool April morning, but the apple trees had already blossomed. A little garden separated the Loyer house from the kindergarten. Just a few days before, Vincent had sown poppies and sweet peas. The mignonette was pushing through the earth. Vincent and Ursula squatted on either side of it, their heads almost touching. Ursula had a strong, natural perfume of the hair.
Mademoiselle Ursula, he said.
Yes?
She withdrew her head, but smiled at him questioningly.
Dear me, what can you be stuttering about? She asked and jumped up.
He followed her to the door of the kindergarten.
My Poupon will be here soon, she said. Won't you be late at the gallery? I have time. I walk to the Strand in 45 minutes.
She could think of nothing to say, so she reached behind her with both arms to catch up a tiny wisp of hair that was escaping. The curves of her body were surprisingly ample for so slender a figure.
Whatever have you done with that Brabant picture you promised me for the kindergarten? She asked.
I sent a reproduction of one of César de Kock's sketches to Paris. He's going to inscribe it for you.
Oh, delightful!
She clapped her hands, swung a short way about on her hips, then turned back again.
Sometimes, monsieur, just sometimes, you can be most charming.
She smiled at him with her eyes and mouth and tried to go. He caught her by the arm.
I thought of a name for you after I went to bed, he said. I called you L'Ange au Poupon.
Ursula threw back her head and laughed heartily.
L'Ange au Poupon, she cried. I must go tell it to Mother.
She broke loose from his grip, laughed at him over a raised shoulder, ran through the garden and into the house.